Greetings, this is Eric Andelin, Senior Photogrammetry Workflow Specialist with SimActive, and you're listening to our Pixels and Points podcast, episode number 13, Generating Point Clouds at Higher Densities with Correlator 3D version 10. And with me today, I have Louis Simard, CTO of SimActive. Louis, say hi to everyone.
Hi, Eric, how are you?
Great. Louis, so give us a little bit about your background, how SimActive came about, how you guys developed Correlator 3D. You know, just kind of fill us in on yourself. We all know Philippe, but nobody really knows a lot about you.
Yes. So like you said, I'm the chief technology officer of SimActive, and I oversee the R&D activities since its beginning. SimActive all started when my brother and I were almost fresh out of college. We both did our studies in electrical engineering and graduate studies in computer vision. And at some point, we had developed this super cool technology for extracting 3D from images. And I guess we were just ready to map the world. And so, yes, we thought our technology had a great potential to make precise maps. But we quickly realized that images were massive. And in fact, not even digital at first. You probably know what I'm talking about. It was a pretty big challenge to overcome. And we knew we had to come up with a better way to process all that data. That's when we got the idea to tap into the power of GPUs and use them to implement faster algorithms. And just like that, I would say Correlator 3D was born. Fast forward to today, we are celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. And our software is now used by some of the best customers in the world. But one thing that never changed is probably our commitment to innovation and our dedication to our customers. I know this might sound a bit cliche, but this is actually true. We're always listening and striving to improve, which is why we're super excited to announce the release of our latest version, version 10. We've put a ton of work into it, and honestly, we're really proud of what we've accomplished.
So yeah, that's really great. So let's talk a little bit about what's coming in version 10, what's available in version 10 for our customers, and the topics that we're going to cover today quickly. Using our new redesigned user interface, including light and dark modes and some other graphical touch-ups, increasing the densities of point clouds with some of the algorithms that we've rewritten, adding oblique imagery to improve results in those point clouds, colorizing photogrammetric point clouds, doing that automatically, and then filtering out points with lower accuracies. Those are some really cool new features. And let's get right into the user interface. So can you go over some of the changes in the latest version of Correlator 3D and the user interface?
Yes, we've made a lot of changes to the user interface. In fact, we have completely redesigned it to bring the latest trends in look and feel. And we're really excited about how it finally turned out. Users will notice right away just how much everything has changed, but don't worry, even though we've completely redesigned the interface, we're confident that user won't feel lost at all, which is kind of important. And in fact, we think the new design will bring will make their experience using the software even better than before. One of the coolest new features we've added is the options to choose between two different color modes, light and dark. This might not seem like a big deal, but it's actually really helpful for users who spend a lot of time working in different environments. If you are working in a dark environment, the dark mode is perfect for reducing eye strain and making it easier to work for long periods of time. On the other hand, we do have many users that who are out in the field, with a bright environment. So the light mode is then great for improving visibility. It just make it easier to see what you're working on. And of course, the software can also adapt to the mode currently used by Windows. So it's easy to switch back and forth depending on your needs.
Yeah, and you know, for some of our users, especially on the drone side, who may not, be 30 years into the profession, but back when we used to do this in stereo, we all worked in dark rooms because we didn't need the light. Maybe we weren't using monitors, and since we weren't using monitors, we're using stereo devices. We had to have dark. And a lot of times, we felt like we lived in caves, but that's, exactly the way things were for us as we were doing this in stereo. So that's a big feature.
And the focus is on the images themselves. So you don't want to see all those buttons and everything. You just want to see what you're working on. So that makes sense.
Exactly. So aside from that, what else have we done graphically?
Yeah, in addition to the redesign and user interface, we've also made some other visual improvements to the software. For example, C3D now supports high definition screens, so 4K monitors, for example, and is DPI aware, meaning that images and maps look even better than before and are easier to work with. Again, in the end, it helps working more efficiently because you've got so much more details, so many details. It's really cool. It's really nice.
Great. So next on our list would be the increasing the densities of point clouds. I know we've got pretty good, robust point cloud tools already, image-based point clouds, but what have we done to increase these amounts?
Version 10 features a brand new point cloud generation engine that, again, we're really excited about. The engine is the results of years of R&D and is designed to be both very precise and very fast in the semactive style. Worth to mention, the density of point clouds, like you said, was increased a lot, bringing the smallest details in the final product. It generates point clouds in parallel with the DSM, which means that a user can get both the point clouds and DSM more quickly than before. This new engine calculates a single point from many images, which brings to the point cloud another level of precision. And best of all, the new engine is fully adapted for distributed processing, so users can take full advantage of their hardware to generate clouds even faster.
Yeah, and this is a very important point, because as we start processing much larger data sets, like the client I was on site visiting this week, that ability to exploit your processing through the distributed processing methods really, really speeds things up. And that's how we get big projects done these days. So, I'm a big fan. I know our users, our power users, are definitely big fans. So that's a good one for sure. So besides that, we've done some other things here, and one of them is to add oblique imagery into the solution. So adding oblique imagery to improve results. We don't need oblique images to create dense point clouds, but we do have the ability to add them in. So how did that come about? What's going on there?
Yes, you are right. Thanks to a new piece of technology we have developed, we can now get a more complete picture of the ground, even when there are obstacles like trees and buildings in the way. It's pretty cool. It really gives us a clearer view of the actual ground. And while we don't necessarily need oblique imagery to do this, like you said, it definitely helps to make the whole process even more accurate and detailed. So if you got some oblique imagery, why not throw it in the mix? Oblique imagery can provide a different perspective and help with the identification of features that may be missed in vertical imagery.
So really, what we're doing by adding oblique imagery is giving us a better peek at things that we normally wouldn't see, such as buildings, sides of buildings.
Exactly. It makes a difference. For the complete workflow, it does make a huge difference.
So coloring point clouds automatically. The current workflow would be to create the DEM, create the mosaic, and then at some point broadcast those RGB values from the mosaic down to the point cloud. But now you're talking a little bit about a little bit different workflow, maybe some more automation in there. Fill us in on how we're doing this as far as more automation with colorization.
Okay, so this workflow is still valid, but in addition to increasing the densities of point clouds and incorporating oblique imagery, another enhancement that has been made is the ability to colorize point clouds. This means that in addition to the XYZ data, point clouds can now can also include RGB color data, which can provide visual context and help with the analysis. I would say that the results are truly impressive. Eric, it's definitely a good sign when even the developers themselves are impressed with the results they are getting. It's always great when the technology exceeds our own expectations. So it sure delivers results that are beyond what was initially anticipated.
So this is really going to come in handy for those folks. If folks missed it, I just did a webinar with one of our customers, and one of the big things that they're doing is creating digital twins. And our software is the input to all this information. So they input all this information into their platform, which is AI driven. The AI software now not only can use the shape to identify a feature, but you could also use the AI to recognize colors, recognize signs, and by having a denser point cloud from oblique imagery as well, it really gives the end user that opportunity to exploit that information.
One example we had is for a specific project, we were able to distinguish, there was a road sign, and with the colorized point cloud, not only we were able to see the shape of the road sign, but we were able to see what was the speed limit just using the color. So we managed to compute a 3D points with color everywhere on that road sign. So honestly, it's really, really cool.
So with all of this, now we've got a more dense point cloud, with or without the oblique imagery, but we have a more dense point cloud from imagery for our customers. And with that means, potential for error, bad points, things like that. What are we doing? The last thing that we have to discuss today is point cloud filtration. So filtering out points lower accuracies. I'm interested in this. How are we going about this?
We have a new filtering tool that enables user to filter a point cloud based on the number of observations assigned to each point during the generation itself. This allows user to focus on specific areas of interest within the point cloud with greater precision and accuracy. So by eliminating points that do not necessarily meet that criteria, so it's extremely easy to use. You just click on the points you want to keep, and then apply the filter. And this is particularly important when you do surveying and mapping, where even small errors can have a significant impacts on the final results.
So would this be something like when we're working with ground control, and we have, say, 10 ground control points, and they're all well within the model, and therefore you've got 8 looks at those 10 points. So you can weight those one way versus you've got a handful of control points that may be a little bit farther on the outside, and they may only have 2 looks at that point. And therefore you might say, well, I'm not sure that the value of that is as strong as the other, so I can filter them out. Is it something like that? I don't know. You tell me.
And I would say one of the big advantages is that most of the tools that use a similar technique, what they do is you right at the beginning of the process, you're asked for the number of observation you want to have for a specific point. We don't do it that way. What we do is that we generate as many points as possible from as many observation as possible. And afterward, you use that filtering tool to decide what you want. And since it takes only a few seconds to filter a point cloud, you can really see in real time, if I remove points with only 2 observation, what happens? What am I losing? And if I remove points with 6 observation, what's happening? So that's why it's really intuitive. You just click on the number of observation you want to keep. Once you're happy with your point clouds, you just click process. And within a couple of seconds, you've got your new filtered point cloud.
Yeah, and it's really appreciated that we're not hiding things under some, cover. We're not a black box in what we do.
Yeah.
We keep it simple, but yet we're still not a black box.
It's really up to the user to decide what they want. And that's how we've been designing most of our modules. It's like we don't like black boxes. I keep saying that nice is good, but precise is even better. So sometimes it's not because your model looks cool that it's precise and everything. So you want to keep full control over your final product.
Fantastic. So David and I are going to get into a demo here and kind of show everybody, these new features with Correlator 3 version 10. I'd like to thank you for your time. I know you're busy and you guys are, probably burnt out and excited to have this release come out for our users. So, great job on the development team and great job getting it done. I always know there's bigger and better things coming, and really enjoy talking to you. Thank you very much.
And Eric, I want to take the opportunity to just give a big shout out to the amazing developers behind Correlator 3D, Alexandre, François, Anthony, Damien. They've been working really hard on this new version, especially version 10. But honestly, it was worth the effort. It's really amazing.
You know what? Again, thank you, Louis, for your time. I know you're a busy person. I appreciate your joining us.
Thank you, Eric.
I'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us as well. This podcast was created in conjunction with a webinar. You can access that webinar as well as previous webinars and podcast by going to our website, simactive.com, where they can be found under the Learning tab. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast through many of the popular podcast subscription sites. Once again, thank you for joining us. Until next time.